Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed. But I think it would be a good idea if we started just run through the Mishnah quickly again so we can remember the different levels of the cases that were discussed in the Mishnah, because if the Mishnah isn't clear, then the discussions in the Gemara regarding the Mishnah are going to be quite confusing. So here's the Mishnah. V'akla. This is on Kaf Tet Amud Bet. This fundamental din that pigol is mechayev karas, chutz lemekomo is not, only chutz lezmana. And furthermore, that you create pigol by any having a machshava of chutzesman or chutzabekoma in any of the arba materian, shchita bekabu mahalak v'zerek, and furthermore, that what it is that your machshava has to be is to eat. Now, eating doesn't mean you have to eat. It could be that it be eaten by the mizbeach. It would also be achila, achilas mizbeach, or achilas adam. But the idea is that the consumption, whether it's on the mizbeach or by a human, should be taking place somewhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash, or at a time beyond the time that is mutter. And once again, the idea over here is not that it actually happens, remember, but that it becomes, at the moment that you have that nachshava, the korban becomes pasul. But it only is mechayev karas in this way, to become pigol itself. It only happens after the korban is completely kosher, except for the pigol. And that's called bilvad she'akriv ha-matir k'mitzvato. So the matirim, all of them, shchita, kabbalah, mahalach, v'zorek, we mentioned here, all have to be brought without any other psul involved in it. Now, here we're not going to talk about psulim that are, you know, external psulim, like having someone pasul put it, doing the actual Zrika at the end or something like that. We're talking about our Mishnah is focusing on what's called Iruv Machshavot. If instead of having just a Machshava of a Chutz Lizmano, you also had a Machshava of Shelo Lishmo, a Pasul Rachata, Pesach Rachatos, or you had a Machshava of Chutz Lekomo and any other Korban, that's called Iruv Machshavot. And remember, we learned before that Machshavot are Mevatlot Zoat Zo. A Gavi Klal, even though Gavi's hiding behind that G, but his claw is not hiding. So wherever you have a mixture of machshavas, it's not going to be real pigol. It'll be possible, of course, but it won't be pigol. Now, when we say, says the Mishnah, when we say korban matir k'mitzvato, what do I mean? So we're talking about over here not having any other machshava that will be motzi midei pigol. So what I mean is, let's say, if you do the shchita without anything, no machshava at all, you just do shchita. You do the Kabbalah, the halacha, and the zrika, you do it chutz lizmano, and that means it wasn't mixed with anything else, because doing something b'shtika is not called mixing. Or, if you were shochet chutz lizmano, and then you didn't think anything when you did the Kabbalah, the halacha, the zrika, or you did all of them, shchita, Kabbalah, halacha, zrika, all of it was done chutz lizmano, that's actually the best, you know? So, since, even though you had the Machshavas Pigol four times here, as long as it was all chutz lizmano, that's great. So the whole korban was brought consistently at the wrong time, so to speak, virtual time, and there was nothing else other than the wrong time that would possibly. That's called k'mitzvaso, even though it was with a Machshavas Pigol chutz lizmano. But when we say lo karav hamatir k'mitzvato vis-a-vis the Pigol, what do we mean? Well, let's say you did shchita with the machshava chutz lemekrimai, and then you did the kabbalah halacha v'zrika chutz lizmano. Or you did the shchita chutz lizmano, and then you did the kabbalah halacha v'zrika chutz lekoma. Or if you did all of it, shachat, kibbal, halach, zarach, all of it was chutz lemekoma, meaning any of those was done chutz lemekoma, and any of the others was done chutz lizmano, it's no good. And at that point, it's great, but it's no good for pigol. So it doesn't give you a chiyuv of kores. And therefore, it's left with the lowest common denominator of the machshavas, which is the psul. Or, for that matter, doesn't have to be a machshava chutz lemekomo, that's motzi chutz lizmano. It could be a machshava of Shelo Lishma, assuming that it's a type of carbon, like a Pesach or a Chatas, which would be Pesach Shelo Lishma. So the same thing would be true over there. A Pesach or a Chatas Sheshachted Shelo Lishma, and then you did everything else Chutz Zmana. Or it was Shachot with a Bachshav of Chutz Zmana, and then you did the Kabbalah Lachas Rika Shelo Lishma. Or you did the Shkita Kabbalah Lachas Rika, all Shelo Lishma. That's not called Karva Matak Mitzvasei, and therefore it's possible, but it's not Pigo, and it's not a Chiev of Kares. Now we're introducing a new case that sounds like exactly the same case. The Gemara is going to discuss today what is it about this case that's supposedly different than the previous case. So you had a Machshava to eat a Kezayit Bachutz, and another Machshava to eat a Kezayit Lebachar. Or you started off a Kezayit Lemachar, and then a Kezayit Bachutz, or even a half Kezayit Bachutz, a half Kezayit Lemachar, or a half Kezayit Lemachar, a half Kezayit Lachutz. In all of these cases, it's possible, the Inbo correct. Now, there's two ways that this could be different than the opening case. One is to say that we're talking about that you did the same Matir with two Machshavas. Not in the previous case, it was that you did two separate Matir. The other way of understanding it is that actually it's the same case as in the Reisha, and we're only introducing the whole restatement of the Mishnah in order to point out that even a Chatzi Shir of Chutz Mekomo and a Chatzi Shir of Chutz Zmano is Mitztarev to Pasel. And that's why we already repeated the Mishnah for that. Omer Rav Yehuda, Zakro, Kol Shemachshevet Hazman Kadma LaMachshevet HaMakom. Actually, we go according to whatever you thought first. If what you thought first was Chutz Zmano, so then once that Pigel takes hold of the carbon, it's already Pigel, and it doesn't matter what you think afterwards, and you'd be Chayev Olav Karas, whereas if the Machsheves HaMakom came first, then the Machsheves HaMakom actually ruins the possibility of Pigel, because the carbon would already be possible because of a Chutz Zmano. Was the Chachamim say it makes no difference which one comes first. Bottom line is that if you have an Eruv Machshavot, so you have some element of either a Shelo Lishma or Chutz Mekomo mixed together with anything at all in this Korban besides the Machshavas Chutz Mizmanai, you're not going to be Chayev Karas. So again, it's not quite clear. Rabbi Yehuda referring to this to this last case, referring even, in other words, it's all, if we understand it, the meaning over here is that it's all in one of the Matirim. Would Rabbi Yehuda still say that that mixture in one Matir, that we go according to whatever comes first, or if it's in the same Matir, maybe, then even Rabbi Yehuda would be made at? We're going to see about that in the Gemara. Now, one thing that everybody agrees to is that if you had a machshava to eat a chatzi zayit, even if that's both chutz lezmano or both chutz mekomo, you're going to eat a chatzi zayit and you were going to put a chatzi zayit on the mizbeach. Remember that when we talk about putting on the mizbeach, that includes shvichas adam itself or shvichas shirayim itself. That's also a form of achilas mizbeach. But the klal is that achila of adam and haktara of the mizbeach do not mitzvahim. They don't combine together to make even a psul, and therefore it would be completely kosher. And that was the idea that we had before. Inhale, chol, yachel. There's two different achilas, and those two different achilas actually cannot come together. Okay, so now that was our brief review of the Mishnah. Now let's take a look at the two ways of understanding the machlokas between the Tanagam and Rabbi Yehuda. Omar Ilfa. Look, the whole machlokas was only, we were talking about two separate avodas. So in other words, you did, let's say, the shkita with the machshava of chutz zmanai, and you did the kabbalah with the machshava of chutz mekomo. So over there, Rabbi Yehuda says it goes according to the first one, because that avoda was completed all with the machshava of chutz lezmano. But if it was two different machshavas, chutz zmanai and chutz mekomo, all in the same Aveda, then everybody would agree, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree. Well, then it's considered to be Eruv Machshavot. And in that case, even Rabbi Yehuda would say, well, yeah, that's we learned that out before. I didn't argue on that episode that machshavas are matziyotzim is. I was just saying that if you started off with an actual pigo of shachot zmano, then that would be chal. But in this case, in the middle of the same avodah that was supposed to make the pigo, you actually had the machshava chutz mekomo. So that means that according to Ilfa, which we're going to see, according to Ilfa, the case of these last two cases, we had a machshava for chutz zmano, then a machshava chutz mekomo, is the same case we were talking about. And that's what they're arguing, that once the pigle, because remember, if we understand that the first part of the mission was talking about two different things, and then this case talking about where it's all one thing, and even Rabbi Yehuda, according to that, would agree. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's not true. Rabbi Yehuda would disagree, even in a case where it was all in the same Avodah, because the Yesod of Rabbi Yehuda is similar to Rabbi Meir, which we're going to talk about more later in the Gemara, which is that we always go according to your first intent. And afterwards, it's viewed as a change of intent, and it's too late to change your intent. So we always go according to the first thing, and that wouldn't matter if it's in the same case, in the same act, whether it's both of them is in Shechita, or whether one is in Shechita and one is in Kabbalah. That's the Gemara now. Wait a minute. So according to Ilfa, Ilfa is saying that the whole Mishnah is talking about two separate acts. One of them is chutz zmano, one of them is chutz mekomo. Okay, I mean, that makes sense because it's clear. The opening of the Mishnah says beferish, that he did one of the matirim. It actually talks it out, right? He did the Shechita for X, and he did the Halacha and the Kabbalah for Y. He gives all those cases, the six cases. All of them speak out very clearly which matter we're talking about. So according to him, I understand that when the Mishnah continues on to talk about two different machshavas, it's referring to same thing it was in the beginning, two different machshavas in two avodas. And that's all that the Mishnah ever discussed, which is why Ilfa says, yeah, that means that if we were talking about one avodah, one matir, then the Mishnah would never have mentioned the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, because there isn't a machlokas. And that's because, since it's all in the same matir, even Rav Yehuda is made that machshavas or motziyos zuni zun, they'll cancel each other out. So that makes sense. But according to the way Rav Yochanan understands it, the Mishnah opens by clearly delineating the different matirin that were given to different machshavas. And now Rabbi Yochanan is claiming, all of a sudden, we switch gears, and all of a sudden, now we're talking about where the same matir is getting two separate machshavas, one chutz zmano and one chutz mekomo. I mean, why would we switch gears in the middle? Is that what you're really saying? Reisha b'shtei avodot and the seifa is b'avodah achat? Says the Gemara, yes, of course, why not? I don't understand. I mean, what's the problem? Basically, if the first part of the Mishnah is trying to teach you a din about two avodas, and the second part of the Mishnah does not specify two avodas at all, so then it's giving you a broader case. It's saying, I don't care if you have two machshavas, I don't care. I don't care if it's in the same avoda, and I don't care if it's in subsequent matirin. It's exactly the same din. And therefore, we can learn that when Rabbi Yehuda argues, he argues even about a case like that. And even a case like that is considered to be, according to Rabbi Yehuda, two separate issues. We always go according to your original machshava. That was Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Okay, so now let's see if we can have a diuk in our Mishnah, because take a look in the Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda says at the end, look, I want to tell you a general rule, you know, Zerklal. That's Pigo and Yerchayev Kars. Now, what exactly is Rabbi Yehuda adding here? He's not adding a darn thing. That's exactly what he said. So why are we making a Zerklal? I want to tell you a general rule. So, I mean, look, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it makes a lot of sense, right? Because the second case was an expansion of the envelope originally we had a case where we had one makshav and one matir, and one makshav and the other matir. The second case didn't say anything about there being two matirim, and it just spoke about there were two makshavas. So therefore, Reb Yehuda says, look, the klal is, it doesn't matter, it would be true in all cases, whether it was one matir or whether it was two separate matirim. So that's exactly the point that Reb Yehuda is making. Reb Yehuda is saying, don't think I'm telling you what Ilfa says, I'm telling you what Reb Yochanan says. But according to Ilfa, what's he saying? I say this halacha, and I even say the klal is this halacha. What is that supposed to mean? It's the same words. So my zaklal. Well, Ilfa has to admit that that's a problem. Kasha. He doesn't have any way to explain why Reb Yehuda would say zaklal. Now, this question of whether it's, because according, we're going to see that Rabbi Meir Shita all over is that you always go according to the Rishon, the first of your Diburim, that's what we go after. So, in the Mishnah, in Temura, so remember the halacha of Temura, you take a carbon, and instead of being poda that carbon, if it's a balmum, or even if it's not a balmum, and you try to substitute another carbon for that carbon, then the din is that both of them are kodesh. Also, you were over on a lav, not to be mamir. But whatever the carbon was that you were making it, that is what the temura will be. So now, what if somebody takes behema, and he wants to make it a double kind of temura, because this guy has got an oila and he's got a shlomi. So he takes one carbon, one animal, and he says, this animal should substitute for my oila and my shlomi. So what is it? Is it an oila? Is it a temura oila? Or is it a temura shlomi? So Rabbi Meir says, well, if he said it in that order, temura ha'seila, temura shlomi, then it's a temura ha'seila. Because we always go according to his opening words. And therefore, it's the same thing, sounds like the same thing as over here that Rabbi Yehuda was saying. We go according to his opening words. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, now hold on a minute. I mean, a guy can't say two things at once. I mean, there's very few people that have two mouths. I do know some people like that, but most people can only say one thing at a time. So, I mean, he can't pronounce those words simultaneously, can he? So, I mean, Dvarav Kayamim, what's he supposed to do? If he changed his mind, you know, and he first says, this is a Temura Seila, and then he changes his mind and he says, no, no, it's a Temura Shlomi. Then I agree, of course. Once somebody makes the Hekdesh, you can't change your mind. It can't be an Ola and a Shlomim. So, in the first case, if you say Ola and a Shlomim, then it is, because what's he supposed to do? Obviously, it's not really a Ola and a Shlomim. What it means is that we're going to wait until there's a Mum on this Temura. We'll sell it, and we'll use half of the money to buy an Ola and half of the money to buy a Shlomim. And that way, the Hekdesh was Nifta, the way that it needs to be. But according to Rabbi Yossi, there's no particular meaning just because you said something first. Because if we understand what you're trying to do is say two things, what's the difference what's said first? So therefore, the only case where I would agree that that's true is where he really did change his mind. So now it sounds like very much like the question that we have over here in our Mishnah. And we're going to see whether that's accurate. Ibailu. Suppose a person said, instead of saying Temurat Ola, Temurat Shlomim, we're over there, it was unnecessary for him to repeat that word. Why did he have to say Temurat, Temurat? He could have said, I raise it Temurat Ola Ushlomim. And instead he says Temurat Ola, Temurat Shlomim. So suppose he didn't say Temurat Ola, Temurat Shlomim. Suppose all that he said was, I raise it Temurat Ola Ushlomim. What's the din over there? What would Rabbi Meir hold? Is he admit that in that case, since he didn't say a separate statement, so that we could say in that case, well, he already said Temurat Ola, now Temurat Shlomim, that's a change of intent. You can't change Hegdash. Once Hegdash is chal, it's not in your hand to change Hegdash. So therefore, in that case, Rabbi Meir would say that his intent was to say both of them. I don't know, maybe be murdered Rabbi Yossi in that case. And what about if he said the Farish, I want this to be half an Ayla and half a Shlomo. So now over there, I mean, it seems very clearly that what he's saying is, it's one tmura, which is half and half. I mean, so there, even if he's, while he's saying, I want it to be half an Ayla and half a Shlomi, so would Rabbi Meir still say, well, the minute you said half an Ayla, it became a tmura of an Ayla? Why would we say that, by the way? Because there's another Gavi Klal that he hasn't used his magic wand yet to put in, and that is Parshta Kedusha Bekula. There's a concept that once Kedusha is chal, of a Kedushas HaGuf, it spreads. And if it's on something that the life of the animal is dependent on, so suppose you said the heart of this thing is an Ayla, or if you say half of it is an Ayla, its life is dependent on that half. If you cut off half of it, it's not going to survive. So because of that, wherever you did it in that fashion, it's chal on the entire thing through the heat pashtut of the Kedusha. It spreads and takes over the entire animal. So that's what the possibility is, that even though he was making essentially a condition, I wanted to be both of them together, but the moment that he said it should be a chatzi ayla, so it became a chatzi ayla, and then it spread. It spread onto the rest of it. Now there's no room for it to become a chatzi shlomi. So what about over there? Would Rabbi Meir say, even in that case, that it would be, we go according to the first thing that you said, or there he would agree. Well, obviously, I mean, they're interdependent. Amar Abaye, well, I can tell you something. If that's the case, Rabbi Meir would 100% be made that both of them are chal, because he's basically saying that they are meant to be together. Whereas Rava says, no, it's actually still a machorkas, even in this case. All right, so let's see what the implications of that are. Omer Rav Abaye, look, according to you, you say that Rabbi Meir would be made that in a case where you said you want it to be half and half, that then Rabbi Meir would be made. But take a look at the case in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is essentially that case, right? Our case is a case of Shechita, and that single Shechita, now this course would be learning that the second part of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yochanan, that single shchita is both for chutz l'zmano and for chutz l'mekoma. So that's the equivalent over here of a tmura of an eila and a shlomim, half and half. I want to be half eila and half shlomim. And nonetheless, over here, we have, assuming that that's how the way Rabbi Yochanan understood it, in which I said, I want both achila chutz l'zmano and achila chutz l'mekoma, I said both of them on the same shchita, right? So if that's the case, why does Rabbi Yehuda argue? Because, I mean, if you say Rabbi Meir would be made in the case of a tmura that is chetzi chetzi, then Rabbi Yehuda should be made in the case of a shchita that's chetzi chetzi, because it's essentially the same idea, right? That we take a look at the first thing that you said, I think. I mean, it sounds like exactly the same shchita. Omar Lay. No, Abaye said, no, you're making a big mistake over here. Mi savart, ino shchita hu b'sof. Now, this is another Gavi Klal that is big missed over here. I'm beginning to doubt whether he even has his magic wand on him, which would be a disaster. And it's a machlokas, which is, in brackets, yeshna l'shchita mitchila b'sof, or ino l'shchita el b'sof. Can't just put it in brackets. Pretty complicated difference. Okay, so what does that mean? If you hold yesh nala shrita b'tchila v'atzof, it means that every act of shrita is considered to be part of the etzem shrita. So let's imagine a case where, remember, in order to have a kosher shrita of an animal, you have to shecht both the kana and the veshet. Right? So those are two completely different separate things. Now, if you're going to tell me the shechita is only chal at the end, I don't care how many pieces I have to shecht. It's all one thing that only takes place at the same instant. If it only takes place at the same instant, then you're right to consider the second case in our Mishnah, Libet Rabbi Yochanan, let's say you're doing a Shechita, both for Achilas Chutz Zbano and for Achilas Chutz Lemakomo, so that would be the same case as Tumura, okay? But if you understand that Yeshna L'Shechita Mitchila Ma'atzot, so then it would be the same thing as saying, I want a Shech the Kone for Achilas Chutz Zbano, and I want a Shech the Veshet for Achilas Chutz Zbano. And that would be separate items. So that's not the same as the Tumura. There's no separate items in the Tumura. It's one Tumura. So apparently you think it's the same case, but it's not the same case. What, you hold that it all happens at one moment? It doesn't all happen at one moment. And the Mishnah, our Mishnah is talking about, where it says over here, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda argues in a case where he said, I want one Kezayit Chutz Zbano, one Kezayit Chutz Mekomo, it's talking about that he said, the first simen that I cut, let's see, cuts the kona first, the first simen that I cut should be Chutz Zbano, and the second simen that I cut should be Chutz Mekomo. So in that case, the point would be that each one is able to be separated out. Okay, so then, That could very well be, you know, that whatever you said first, that is what happens. But if it would be the same act, and would all be chal at one moment, like in the Tumura, so then the idea would be, that the thing that you said first is not the point anymore, because it's all happening simultaneously. So Abaya says, no, it's actually not happening simultaneously. Now, there's one additional Gavi rule over here, which makes it even more disastrous that there's no sparks flying, and that is that all of this is based on another assumption, because what Abaya is saying is that you could be mefagel, and it would be a pigel if you were mefagel just with the kona, or just with the veshet. Because you're saying, besides saying that each one of those is a separate act, you're saying that the pigel would be chal with that act. But the problem is that when we have the arba matirin, what we took for granted until now was that you would have to be at least mefagel with the whole matir, right? So in other words, you're going to do the whole shchita, and that shchita is going to be the matir. Now, suppose you only did half of the shchita. Suppose you actually only shechted a kona or a veshet. So that's half of a matir. There's no shchita yet. There's a half of a shchita. If you hold yeshel shchita mitchila ba'atzof, it doesn't make it a shchita before the shchita is finished. And that would mean that if you're telling me, Abai is taking for granted here, which is a chiddush because it's a big machlokas, mefaglin bechatzi matir. And that the point of Rabbi Yehuda is that since these two acts, the shchitas hakona and the shchitas haveshet, are both separate acts of shchita because yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'atzof. The two very important but not necessarily related dinim. Yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'atzof, and in addition to that, he holds that mefaglim b'chatzi matir, then that would mean you would theoretically be able to make this animal pigel by having a machsheves chutz l'zmanoi just on the shchita of the kana, or just on the shchita of the veshet. So then what you're saying is, okay, so then this would be essentially the same case as having one matir done with a machshev of Chutz Zbano and the other matir done with a machshev of Chutz Mekomo. But enochinami, if they were both in the same one, so then Rabbi Yehuda would actually be meida. That's why I'm saying Rabbi Meir would be meida in the event that he says, I want it to be half a tumor of shlomim and half a tumor of ayla. That would be true, except it's not the same case as in our Mishnah. That's all. But in that case, I believe that Rabbi Meir would agree and Rabbi Yehuda would have agreed in that case also. Here, it's a different issue. Says Rava, wait a minute. Maybe I could go along with you if all we had, the only evidence was this Mishnah. Because in this Mishnah, a shchita can actually, theoretically, be split into two completely different acts of pigel. One of them, the shchita, since it's a b'tchila v'atzof of the first siman, And one of them b'shchita, since it's b'tchila b'atzof, of the second sinner. And since we all b'fagre b'chatzi matir, that's possible. The problem that you're going to have to explain to me, sir, is that we have exactly word for word the same Mishnah in Menachos, okay? And in Menachos, what is the equivalent of shchita? Remember, the shchita is the kmitza, right? Now, it says over there that the same achlokas takes place in kmitza. Now, there's not two simonim in kmitza. So how are you, Abaye, going to read the Mishnah in Menachos that says the same thing and that Rabbi Yehuda says we go according to the first part of your dibur? I mean, there's no kmitza mitchila v'atzof. It's one act. So what would you be talking about over there? Well, says Abaye, I understand the Mishnah over there is not talking about the act of kmitza. What it's talking about over there is that you did the haktara of the kmitza. Now, there's two parts to the haktara of every kmitza. And that's because there's a kmitza of the actual mincha, but then you have to bring along levona. Remember, so first you separate out the levona from the mincha so that there's no levona in your kmitza, and then you bring all of the levona. So there's two separate acts of haktara. One is the haktara sakmitza, and one is the haktara of the levona. So that's the equivalent of two simonim. And that's what it's talking about over there. Obviously, those are two different acts, right? And if I hold mifaglim b'chatzi matir, so the levona is a chatzi matir, and the komets is a chatzi matir. But so what? That's the whole point that Rabbi Yehuda holds here. So that's what he holds there. There's no problem at all. Ah, says Rava, but what about a minchas chote? Remember, where do we have a minchas chote? Oh, come on, guys, where do we have a minchas chote? Give me an example. Hello. I've done this to you before and you still don't remember? I'm assuming that everybody's yelling, but it's just that you're muted.
Nichnas l'mikdash.
Okay, well, thank you. And he's dalei dalos. He's got no money. He can't afford it. It's talking about one of the korbanot olah v'yoreid. For instance, nichnas l'mikdash could have been a shvuah, whatever, right? Or shmias hakol. And in that case, if he doesn't have any money, he brings a minchas chote. Now, a minchas chote does not have, as we saw before, does not have any livona. So you can't give me the shtick about there being two chatzi matirs, because there is no levona in the case of a minchas chote. Okay? So what are you going to do about that case? The Mishnah doesn't make any distinction between what mincha, so it should be exactly the same. But your argument collapses there. So Hare Komets, the minchas chote, were over there, leka levona bade, there is no levona, and yet, I mean, the Mishnah didn't say it's different, so I'm assuming that they would still argue. Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachom would still argue. Are they still arguing? After all, it's all one Maisa, and one Maisa has to be that Rabbi Yehuda would agree. That's what you claim, says the buyer, yeah? I say they don't argue, okay? I mean, it doesn't say that Beferish that it includes a Minchas Chote. You say it includes a Minchas Chote. I say it doesn't include a Minchas Chote. Rav Ashi says, even if they would be arguing about the Minchas Chote, there's an easy way to explain the Mishnah there. You said it would have to be talking about the Hakrovas HaKomets. Maybe it's talking about Holacha. Holacha could be, it's going to take you 10 steps to get to the Mizbeach. So each one of those steps is a separate Chatzi Matir. So if one step was taken towards the Mizbeach in order to eat at Chuzizmano, and another step was taken in order to eat at Chutzimakomo, so fine, there's your example. Maybe that's what it's talking about. The Mishnah doesn't have to be excluding a minchas chote, for heaven's sakes. Now, actually, this machlokas of Abaye and Rava really is a machlokas tanoim, because if you take a look in this brisa, Rav Shimi bar Ashi, he brought a brisa that says basically that, like Abaye, namely that Rabbi Meir is meida in a case where you say, I want it to be a chatzi erla and a chatzi shlomim. That then even Rabbi Meir would be made of, that we don't say that we go according to Dafka, his opening Dibur. Because Rabbi Meir wasn't talking about that kind of case where he made it very clear that it would be, interdependent, and it's not a change. So we don't say that we go according to his opening machshava. That's like a buy-in. But Ravuna Bar Nasan, he had a different braita. And in this braita, it said, no, Rabbi Meir argues, even in the Tumras Ela, Tumras Shlomim, where you said, Chetzi Ela, Chetzi Shlomim, he would still argue. Now, when Rav Dimi came to Bavel, he said, actually, it's pretty clear that Rabbi Meir is saying exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said. And what is that klal? That itself is a gavi klal. I think you might have written this one down already. But that's called Tfos Lashon Rishon. Always grab the first thing that's said. So basically, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says over here. If his first statement was that it should be a tmuras, that it should be a chutz l'zmanai, so then it's chutz l'zmanai. And then it's chayav koras, even if afterwards he tried to add a chutz l'makaymak. The whole point is that we always go with that klal. The halacha is defined by the first thing that a person says. Okay? So that would be, according to that, it would mean that the Rabbi Yehuda would say by Tmura what Rabbi Meir says, and Rabbi Meir would say by the question of the Chutzizmanu Chutzumakaymai what Rabbi Yehuda says. And basically, they both say Tfos Lashon Rishon. That's what the Mishnah says of Yerom Rabbi Yehuda, Zehaklau. Which means that whatever comes first goes. That sounds totally to me like Tfos Lashon Rishon. So, and that would mean that according to Rabbi Yochanan, even where it was in the same Aveda, it's just a rule in Tfos Lashon Rishon. And therefore, I don't care if this guy wanted, remember what Rav Yossi says, well, what's a person supposed to do? He only has one mouth. And if you know for a fact that he wanted to say both of these things at the same time, or if he actually says it clearly, then he means those things at the same time. Okay, Rabbi Meir says, no, that's not the point. The point is that in terms of the halos of a state is defined halachically by Tfos Lashon Rishon. I don't even hang if the guy intended to do something else. The halacha doesn't recognize his ability to do that. And that's exactly what it says in our Mishnah, no? Imach Sheva's Asman, Kod Mach Sheva's Amokum, Pig of Achelon of Kores. Omele Abaye, well, you know, you may think you're very smart, but I can tell you, when Rabbi Bar Bar Chana came, he said, and look, this whole discussion has been according to Rabbi Yochanan, right? And he said, well, you know what Rabbi Yochanan said back in Eretz Yisrael? That if you actually take Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, and you put them up against each other, so you juxtapose them. That's the word in Hebrew for juxtaposition. Is ki magat luhu, Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yossi. You touch them up against each other, and now you measure them. You're going to find out an amazing thing. You're going to find out that they don't disagree. That's ridiculous. What are you talking about? They don't disagree. The whole mission is that they do disagree. Go pligi, a mifuk pligi. The case is if somebody says tmura sayla, tmura shlomim, according to Rabbi Meir, it's only a tmura sayla, and according to Rabbi Yossi, it's a tmura sayla, tmura shlomim. What are you talking about? No. Don't make fun of Rabbi Barba. What Rabbi Barba Chana was saying was they're arguing about what they were arguing on, but don't extend their argument to make pretend that they're arguing about something that they're not arguing in. That's all he was saying. Plige b'maida plige, but lo plige b'maida lo plige. Anything that they haven't discussed over here, namely the general rule about whether we go tfos lashon rishon or not, that's not a machlokas. Everybody agrees if we know for sure that the guy wanted to give it both of the dinim, we don't say tfos lashon rishon is some kind of magical legal thing. Only Rabbi Yehuda holds that. But Rabbi Meir doesn't hold that. Rabbi Meir would agree to Rabbi Yossi in that case. That's what he said. Because the Amar of Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hakol Modim, even Rabbi Meir agrees to Rabbi Yossi, that if the man said Beferish, I want it, sorry, even Rabbi Yossi would agree to Rabbi Meir, if the man said Beferish, I want it first to be a Tumuras Ayla, and then it should become a tumor shlamim. Of course, that's ridiculous. Once something became a tumor asar, it's not in your hands to make it a tumor shlamim, and therefore it's certainly not going to be chal. But Rabbi Meir is made at Rabbi Yossi that in a case that you make, let's say, a condition, you say, this should be an oila, tumor asar, on condition that it's a tumor shlamim. So then you've wrapped the two of them together, and it's quite clear that you don't want one. Lo tachul zeu, ela im ken chalazu. You can't have one without the other. Ba-bum. So over there in that case, divrei hakol chayla. Of course it's going to be chal. Why? Because the machlokas here is not about tfos lashon rishon. The question is, what did a guy mean? Rabbi Yehuda wasn't talking about what did a guy mean. Rabbi Yehuda was talking about Tvos, Lashon, Rishon. The two machlokas, they may look like they're related. They're not related at all. Ki plige. So where is their machlokas? In the case, we said Tmurat Ola, Tmurat Shlamim. We pointed this out before. That extra word Tmura. What are we throwing around the extra Tmura for? So that's where the machlokas is. Rabbi Meir says, look. If the guy really just wanted it to be a tmura of both, he could have just said, this should be a tmura of an oila and a shlamim. Where is it? Tmurat ola, tmurat shlamim. So if he says it like that, so then he obviously is changing his mind in the middle. And instead he says, tmurat ola, tmurat shlamim, so he must have changed his mind. He was starting to say, I want this to be a tmurat ola, a tmurat shlamim. That's the point. That's why he's obviously trying to take away the original Kedusha, which is not in his hands to do. You can't retract Kedusha. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, no. That's no proof that he didn't want it to be both and he's changing his mind. Maybe the reason that he said it that way with the word Tmurat Ola, Tmurat Shlamim, instead of simply saying, I want it to be both a Tmurat Ola and a Shlamim, maybe he thought to himself, you know, I'm going to be very smart. If I'm going to say Tmurat Ola Ushlamim, so then they would assume that that means it should be half an Ola and half a Shlamim. And that would mean that they're going to go ahead and they're going to sell it. And there's no such thing as half an Ola and half a Shlamim. So they would sell it, and they'll use half of its money to bring as an Ola, and half of its money to bring as a Shlamim. But I don't want that. I want it to be both the Ola and the Shlamim. Now, there's no such animal, obviously, and this guy's crazy. But the fact is, people are crazy all the time. So it's very likely, says Rabbi Yossi, that's what he thought. He thought that he could actually take one animal and bring that one animal as a Ola slash Shlamim, and that way he could get an extra brownie point. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be very happy. You brought an Ola and a Shlamim. Wonderful. Okay, I mean, we'll have to tell him the bad news. Listen, buddy, it is an Ola and a Shlamim, but there ain't no such animal, so we're going to have to sell it and bring it as half of it. The money will go for an Ola, half will go for a Shlamim, which is exactly what you didn't want. But the point is that I don't have to say change his mind. Why would I say change his mind? That's the machlokas. That's why he said, Tmurat Ola, Tmurat Shlamim. He thought he was being like very precise. It's fully a Tmurat Ola and fully a Tmurat Shlamim. And he was trying to say, Kula Ola v'kula Shlamim. So Rav Dimi said to Abaye, well, I'm so impressed by the fact that Rabba Bar Bar Chana doesn't agree with me. And you know what? Stuff it. What do I care if Rabba Bar Bar Chana doesn't agree with me? I disagree with him. Okay, so he says, who am I, lo plige? And this is a person like, really, whoa, oh, I must have been wrong. I disagree. Anamina plige, and I say they do argue. You know, go tell it to the judge. Omarula, Ritema, Rav Oshaya. So, talking about the Mishnah now directly, they didn't know Ula, Rav Oshaya, didn't know from these conversations. So they said, you know, maybe in Bavel, they know exactly how to read the Mishnah's case. Because there was some confusion about, was the correct girsa in the Mishnah, kizayit lemocha, kizayit chutz l'mekrina, or did it say kizayit lemocha u kizayit chutz l'mekrina? And that's a very important question. Because if it said, ki zayed mamocha, ki zayed rutsu lekoma, and that was the specific case that the Mishnah wanted to talk about, then it's telling us something very important. It's telling us that if you would say, kizayit u kizayit, so then it's clearly all one statement, and even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that we don't say tvos lashon rishon, we would say it's an eruv machshavos, because it's clear that this is what the guy, in this case, it's what he meant to say. That's why he used the vav achibur. Or maybe, actually, Rabbi Yehuda has a halacha of tvos lashon rishon that has nothing to do with trying to figure out whether the guy was trying to say two different things. It simply is a kalal in the halacha. Once you say something, even though we know you're going to be saying something else, it goes according to tvos lashon rishon. So that makes a big difference. If the Mishnah even spoke it about a case of kizayit u kizayit, and nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda said, even that case, it's still going to be two separate statements, even though it obviously isn't. And therefore, we have a klal. If there's two separate statements, then tvos lashon rishon. Even here, I would say tvos lashon rishon. But Rabbi Yehuda, the guy's trying to say, I don't give a hang. The halacha is, he mentioned it he mentioned the chutzos mano first. That's pigol, that's it. And remember, I just want to remind you all that it isn't really the same. Because when you say chutzos mano first, is it really pigol? If you say tmuras oila first, is it really a tmuras oila? Yes. But if you say this should be a kezayis chutz lizmano, does it become a pigol at that moment? No. It only becomes pigol when you bring the mater kemitzvasei after you do the zrika. So it's incipient pigol. So that means we're jumping this a little bit, because we're claiming that the idea of Rabbi Yehuda is that the pigol is tofeset, right? Now, I mean, you could have said that maybe by a tomorrow where the hegdash is tofeset, like we were talking about, the pashtut of the kedusha, if you said half of it, right? That doesn't have an equivalence when it comes to pigol, that it's actually tofeset. It's an extension that Rabbi Yehuda had about the nature of the chalos of pigol, that there's a concept called incipient pigol, that whatever was done first, the moment you do the zrika, that's what's going to happen. So keep in mind that this is not a perfect comparison, this comparison of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. But nonetheless, it's a perfectly valid comparison in terms of the question of, are we talking about what the guy was trying to do, or are we talking about a halachic concept of whatever gets out of that mouth first is what the din is, which is, as it's completely irrelevant to me what you were trying to do. And that's basically what we're trying to figure out over here. Is the Mishnah actually talking about a machlokas, whether tvos lashon rishon, or is the machlokas in the Mishnah a question similar to Rabbi Meir's machlokas with Rabbi Yossi? Where over there, at least some were trying to say that was just a question of how we understand the intent, but it isn't really about tvos lashon rishon. Now, by the way, you should just know that in reality, Rabbi Meir's shita actually is tvos lashon rishon. That's simply a matter of what his intent was. But okay, that's all big discussion in Tamura. So, if that's the question, so if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah specifically talked about a kizayit kizayit without a vav, so it means that the Mishnah was avoiding kizayit u kizayit, because then Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's iruv machshavos, and then we won't say tvos lashon rishon. Or if the correct gears in the Mishnah is kizayit u kizayit, and it's telling us that Rabbi Yehuda would say that even that is considered to be, I don't care that it was a vav, so kosher ken kizayit kizayit is separate, and we would say tvos lashon rishon. Well, I'll bring you a raya. I'll bring you a raya. Because Levi asked Rebbe, if somebody had a machshava to eat a kizayit lemachar b'chutz. Now, this is fascinating. Until now, we were talking about that he had two separate machshavas. He's going to eat a kezayit lamocha, and he's going to eat a kezayit b'chutz, right? But how about if he's going to eat the kezayit lamocha b'chutz? I mean, after all, you could violate space and time at the same time, can't you? So what about then? I mean, then it's one achila, which is outside of both dimensions. How about that? So, I mean, are you going to say even in that case that Rabbi Yehuda would say Tfos Lashon Rishon? Where it's like literally everything is the same. It's the same achila for two purposes. What is the difference if I mention the fact that it's tomorrow? Tomorrow outside or outside tomorrow? Is that going to make a difference? Oh, it's crazy. Why would that make a difference? It's clear it's all the same thing, right? Unless you're telling me Tfos Lashon Rishon. I mean, that's, can't get away with Tfos Lashon Rishon. Doesn't matter whether it makes sense to you or not. That's what you said. That's what you got. So do they know? Our question was, and over here in raising this new question. So Levi raised this question to Rebbe, because look, Rebbe, you never talked about this case. I mean, you talked about, you know, either Kezayit, Kezayit, or Kezayit, U Kezayit. We'll see what Rebbe had taught him. So Rebbe says, oh, Levi, my boy, that's a good question. Zu Sheila. And I'll tell you, the answer is, it's considered to be Iruv Machshavas, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, because that's literally the same thing. So Rabbi Shimon, and we've seen very much before the type of complex relationships between Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi, and Levi, the Talmud of Rabbi. We had the story about the Tehillim. Do we want to learn Tehillim now, or do we want to learn Mishnah now, you know? So there was a little bit of competition over there. So Rabbi's son, Rabbi Shimon, says to him, I don't understand. Why are you saying that what he said is a good question? It's a stupid question. I don't understand why he thought it was a good question. I mean, look at the Mishnah. Isn't that our Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Lecho kezayit pachutz, kezayit lemachar, kezayit lemachar, kezayit pachutz, kachatzi zayit pachutz, kachatzi zayit lemachar, or kachatzi zayit lemachar, kachatzi zayit. And the idea is that if it was b'chutz, it's possible without chorus. So what's the question? Rabbi Yehuda says that I disagree, which is mashman. He's only disagreeing in this case. He didn't say u'kizayit, he just said kizayit l'mokra, kizayit, or vice versa. But mashman, that if even if you'd used a vav, in any other case, certainly this crazy case where it's the same achila that Levi asked you, ha'idach, anything other than kezayit, kezayit, even kezayit u'kezayit, should be iruv machshavas. Omar Leisa, Rebbe said to Rabbi Shimon, listen here, my boy. He's asked me a very good question. You think you're so smart. Hu sha'al bidvar chuchma? And you come along. I tell you, if I tell a guy, you asked a good question, you come along and tell me it's his Mishnah? I mean, come on. Obviously, there's a difference between the Mishnah as you know it and the Mishnah as he knows it. So let me tell you something. When I taught you that Mishnah, so I taught that the Machlokas was, Dasinach Tarte, Lo Kashelecha. I talked to you both about Kezayit, Kezayit, and Kezayit, U Kezayit. Okay, so then it's clear that it's, if I said both, so then the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda is only in those two cases, but not in the case where it's the same achila tomorrow outside, whether it's the same kezayit, because I talked to you about kezayit, kezayit. That's how I taught you, okay? But it's not the way that I taught it to him. To him, I only mentioned one of those cases, which, of course, as we will see, but it only makes sense this way. To Levi, I only taught kezayit, kezayit, as Levi was actually being medayik to me. So to him, I only taught kezayit, kezayit. And he heard all of the people of the Medrash, he heard others that were saying it over the way I had taught it to you, namely kezayit, kezayit, or kezayit, u'kezayit. So he wasn't sure which one is right. So then he was thinking to himself, you know, if my version is right, and that it's only been ogea the case where it's kizayit kizayit. But the cases that these other people are saying would not have been the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. It would have been, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would have been Eruv Machshavas, because he used the Vav, and the Vav makes it clear that he wants it to be the same. So then it's clear that, obviously, even the case of a Vav would be Eruv Machshavas. But it's possible that maybe the way Rebbe taught them was Dafka, and that they were right. And Rebbe didn't teach me one of those cases. Now, if they're right, so now I got a problem, because Rebbe obviously is trying to give over different versions of the Mishnah so that we can expand our discussion about different cases, right? So if Rebbe didn't teach me the case of the Vav, so maybe he left out another case to them, which is the case of the Super Vav. What's the case of the Super Vav? Well, it's the same kizayit that I'm eating tomorrow outside. That's the Super Eruv, right? Because that's literally the same kizayit. So first we have kizayit kizayit. Then we have kizayit u kizayit, which sounds like they're cutting together. Then we have kizayit b'chutzumachar. That's the ultimate. Now, I'm not sure, because if I hadn't heard them, I would have said, okay, look, Rebbe said the only machlokas is kizayit kizayit, which means even a vav would have been enough to get Rebbe Yehuda to agree that that's called Eruv Machshavas. So then I never would have asked this question. However, that's not the way I was taught. So since it's not the way I was taught, there's obviously information that's left out. How far was the information left out? Was it left out even in the Super Vav case, where it's the same achila that is b'chutz and l'mochar? Is this clear, everyone? The three cases? I mean, I really can't see your faces because there's a bunch of letters in front of the faces. But how about those few of you who have faces? Is this clear? Right? Very clear. Three different targets. Kizayit, 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 ukizayit, and kizayit, the same kizayit. Kizayit, l'mochar, l'chutz. Boy, does it really, it takes a lot out of you talking to these letters, let me tell you. It really does. All right. I get very tired about halfway through. Look, you're the guys who suffer, because then it takes me much longer to explain it, because you never know whether the letters are understanding it or not, so you just go to town and explain it again. Whereas if you have an intelligent human being, they shake their heads, they winkle their eyes. There's all kinds of ways to indicate that we are intelligent and we're on the same page. But when the same page consists of the word iPhone or 922000, you think to yourself, who knows what page that guy is on? So I don't know. But anyway, if I've got a majority of people over here look intelligent, then we can go on. Okay, so that's why I said that he's asking a very intelligent question. It's a very intelligent question. Maybe I left out the Super Vav case, you know? Okay, by the way, if you only taught him one, which one was it? Oh, come on, man, don't be stupid. You know which one it was. If Rebbe taught him kizayit ukizayit, so then there was nothing left out, because if Rebbe Yehuda argues even on the vav, he certainly argues on the kizayit kizayit without a vav, so it must be the only case that Levi knew was kizayit kizayit. So therefore, he said, okay, so I don't know. I don't know what the din is where he would have used the vav. And I don't know what the din is where he would have used a Super Vav. So I don't know what to do. Wait a minute. So if you don't know what to do, why are you asking Super Vav? You should ask what the din would be just with a Vav. I mean, the way that we're understanding it, Levi is basically jumping the gun, and he creates this new case of Super Vav when he doesn't even know what the din is with a regular Vav, right? So why didn't he ask what the din is with a regular Vav? I mean, why is he, like, expanding the whole thing? Because Levi was very smart. And he was not only smart, he was also concise and careful not to ask something that wasn't necessary. So therefore, Levi said, look, I'm going to ask one question, And out of that single question, I'm going to be getting an answer to two questions, which is, remember, the Olam you're learning has to be Derech Tzara, as concise as possible. So, if I ask him, Iba ino kezayit u kezayit, if I just ask him the regular vav, so if he tells me, well, Rabbi Yehuda would consider that to be Iruv, and it's a klal. Okay, so then I know the answer to the other question. That's true, because kol shekei super vav is for sure going to be a Iruv machshavas. But what happens if he tells me, if I ask him about kezayit u kezayit, he says, no, over there we would also say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you go according to your first lashon. Then I'm still going to ask him, I'm going to have to ask him another question. All right, but then what about super vav? I don't understand. So the same thing is true now. Now you're asking him about super vav. So if he would tell you that even super vav is considered to be separate, and Rabbi Yehuda argues, so then, okay, then you don't need to ask, what about if there's just a plain vav? But what happens if Rebbe says, oh, super vav, even Rebbe Yehuda would be made of? So then you still don't know what the din is with the regular vav. Maybe just saying kezayit u kezayit. Maybe it's the same as kezayit kezayit. Maybe it's the same as super vav. So how are you making it more concise? Ah, says Levi, I'm a genius. Because you see, if I ask it this way, and the din was that kezayit u kezayit was also considered to be ear of makshavas, Rebbe will be angry when he answers. And he'll say to me, you jerk, if kezayit u kezayit is a klal, kol shekein super vav is a klal, but if he answers me nicely, and he says, kezayit lamacha, kezayit b'chutz, well, that is a single ear of makshavas, then I understand that kezayit u kezayit is not, because otherwise he would say, if even a kezayit u kezayit is considered to be one statement, a kezayit lamalcha tachutz mi boy, why you ask me such a dumb question? So by judging the level of Rebbe's uraring, you know, where we could see whether he's angry at me or whether he's just going to answer me, I will save the need to ask two questions. And it's worth it to be called a jerk if it's going to save all of that unnecessary discussion. Now, there we go. That's the way to ask a question. Okay, so that means that if this is the case, and Rebbe said, that's a great question, so then that means that the correct Mishnah is kezayit u kezayit. That would be considered to be a non-ear of Marshavis, Pratahamit. Now, this question, oh, that's a great question. So, in other words, when it comes to the specific case of the same Kezayit Machar and Bachutz, so then, Enochinami, that's a question where Rebbe Yehuda would be made at, as Rebbe said. But just Kezayit Ukezayit, he would not be made at. So now we have our answer as to how to read the Mishnah and what the level of the Machlokas is.